We'll just pray for Mark as he gets kitted out. Lord, thank you for Mark. Thank you for how he's diligently sought you. And we believe we're going to hear a word from your heart from heaven this morning. Strengthen him against his cold and how he might be feeling. Let him deliver your word as you want it delivered. Lord, give us hearts that will not be forgetful. So bless your word in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good. I've got a little PowerPoint this morning, but it's basically just got the scriptures on that I'll be sharing with you, because it saves me having to sort of ruffle through my Bible. Joel's just going to load it up for me. There we go. Okay, well, I want to start by reading some scriptures straight away. So let's turn to Acts chapter 2, verse 42, and I'll read. I'm using the New Living Translation this morning. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. I don't know about you this morning, but I'm feeling a real need from the Lord. I've got this real deep sense that the God is saying there's a real need to send me on an all-expenses-paid trip around the Bahamas on a cruise ship. Amen? Everyone else feeling that need this morning? Good. So let's go and sell your house, sell your cars, and pay for that. Amen. Well, the good news is that's not what the Lord's saying. I'm not actually going to preach on that, but I thought I'd start with a little joke. But I want to draw your attention to verse 42. And it says what the early church devoted themselves to. And that was the apostles' teaching. Obviously, at that time, they didn't have a Bible, because a lot of it wasn't written at that point. So when we talk about the apostles' teaching, we're talking about the Word, the Bible, and to fellowship, and to sharing in meals, and to prayer. And the thing I want to focus on this morning is the word fellowship. And I want to talk about the fellowship life this morning, what it means to us, the culture and society we live in, what's God's heart towards fellowship, and then I want to talk about what fellowship isn't, and then I want to look at some scriptures, some of the apostles' teaching, to look at what fellowship is and some practical things for us as a church to go through. And so first off, I want to talk about the world and society that we currently live in today. Now, our current society, what it wants to do, or what it's a very, I struggle to say this word, it's individualistic society. And I'm going to struggle with that word saying it. And what I mean by that is that our current society is all about you, and about what your needs are, and what your wants are, and what you can get out of life, and what you need from it. And it's all about how, and the society encourages you to go for it, to go for it all about yourself. And there are so many positive things about that. But at the same time, we live in a society where lots of people feel very isolated. And loneliness, I think, is one of the big issues we face as a current society. And I haven't done some deep research into the figures, but I know from just my general reading that we suffer from a big problem of certainly younger people committing suicide. We've probably got much higher suicide rates than we ever had in our entire civilization in our society. And that's partly brought on by the fact that the society is encouraging it all to be about you, and this individualistic society that we live in. And it creates loneliness and sadness. And that's why people struggle with that. And we realise that is the opposite of what God wants for us. And then looking at our fairly 50 to 100 years, some of the political ideas of our times, we can see that politicians and philosophers come up with ways of how society should be. And if you look into what communism is, you'll see that it's very similar to the way the early church operated. And communism says that nobody should own everything, we should all just put everything together, and everyone's needs can then be met, and we can all live in a very happy, nice society because everyone looks after each other. But if you look into your, which it's very similar to the way the early church lived. But the problem is what the world does is it gets godly ideas and it takes God out of them and puts man in its place. And you look at what happens to communism, and it's just quite a nice idea, but actually it doesn't work. Because without God, you put man in a place and man's corrupt. And of course, you look at communism, what happened in Russia and China and all these other places, is that man's corruption takes over. And instead of everybody looking after each other, just a few get all the good things, everyone else struggles for it. And another political idea that we can sometimes think of is socialism. Now, I'm not trying to bash it at all, but I think socialism is quite a good idea and it has a lot of good intentions at heart. But we realise that wherever our society goes with socialism, is that it will fail. It won't do what it sets out to achieve, because man has these great intentions, but they try to do it without God, and of course man and sin gets hold of those ideas and corrupts it and it changes it and it will fail. And every single political system we've ever had fails because of this whole problem we have with man's corruption. And when we take God out of these ideas. Another thing that we suffer with culturally, for us in the UK, is this thing called Britishness. Now, I appreciate not everybody here is British, and it's quite nice that we actually have a bit of an international flavour to our church. And not all of us were born here and raised here, but the culture of our time, if you live in the UK at this present, in the present time, is that we do have this overriding attitudeness or culture of Britishness. And what I mean by that is that kind of stiff upper lip attitude about each man's and his household is an island. We don't like to share. We like to put on a good show for everybody, make sure that everyone thinks that we're doing all right. We don't like to open up. And that is the culture that we live in today that kind of sometimes prevails throughout our way of thinking. And I'm sure if we did in different countries, the cultural issues would be different. You see, this is what the world tries to do. And we realise that God's heart about his fellowship life is completely different to what the world wants. So let's look then at God. And I want to take you back to the very beginning, before the world was created, before the universe was created. What did you have? You had God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Trinity are all three separate beings, but all, it says, are one. This is the mystery of the Trinity. Don't worry, I'm not going to go into great depths about that this morning. But you see that they live in fellowship together. The God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit all work together. And one of the reasons why they created this earth and this universe is they wanted to share that fellowship with other people. And they wanted to share with their creation. And so if you look at the very beginning, and you go to chapter 1 of Genesis, and it talks about God's whole creation, if you come to verse 26, and God says this, "Let us make human beings in our image to be like us." Notice he doesn't say, "I'm going to make humans, and they're going to be like me, and they're going to act like me." He says, "Let us make man in our image to be like us." You see, God made man to be in fellowship with God and to experience what God has in the Trinity and in that close, perfect fellowship that he has there. And we see further down in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, the Lord God said, "It is not good for man to be alone. I'll make him a helper who is just right for him." Now, he's not just talking about it's good to get married and have a partner. He's saying this, that I have created man to be in fellowship with other people. And that's partly why we have this big issue of loneliness and isolation in our society, is because it's not the way we've been designed as humans. God has designed us to be in fellowship and friendship and in connection and relationship with other people. And of course, when we try and go against the way we were created, we come across with the issues that we have in our society today. And it was always God's heart for us as humans to be in fellowship with him. And of course, when he made creation, it was great. in Adam and Eve, and he walked with them, and he talked with them, and he had that relationship with them. And of course, what happened? What did they do? They went and messed it up, didn't they? They went at the apple, they let sin come in, and it corrupted this perfect thing that God had created. But the good news for us is that that wasn't, God sort of knew this was going to happen, and he had another plan to get around that. And he, of course, because when sin entered, it created this mass chasm between us and God. And if you look at this poster here, it's what it kind of signifies. And God's on one side and we're the other. And God can't be in fellowship with us because of sin. But he sent Jesus to go and die on the cross so that we could have that connection back with God, and we can go back into relationship, into fellowship with Christ when we believe in him. And to go along with that, God has created, through the cross, he's not just made a way for us to be in fellowship with God and so that we can all be his individual people. They're all connected to God, but all these sort of different connections elsewhere. He's also made it so we are connected with each other as well. And he's made this thing called the church. If you look around this morning, look at everybody. See, us guys here are the church this morning. This is what God has created. And I want to say this, that I think church is awesome. I really do. It's because it's something that God has made. And it's something that is wonderful and amazing. And God has made it for us to be in fellowship together. And it says this in 1 John 1, verse 3. It says, "We proclaim to you that we ourselves have actually seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that you may be fully share in our joy." Because the thing we have to understand, if we want to be in fellowship with people in the church or the person sitting next to you, we first must have fellowship with the Father through Jesus Christ. That we can't share that deep spiritual connection in fellowship with each other unless we are first connected with Christ, which is why it's so important that we go to the cross. And because the church is this unique place. There's nothing else like it in the world, like the church. Because you can go out there and you can find plenty of communities to be a part of. You can find lots of people who share the same passion as you. You can go and join a sports club. Like for me, I could go and join a cycling club and get lots of enjoyment out of that. You could go and find someone that also likes Spitfires and World War histories. You can go and join a society like that and be connected with people. Or it might be that you really care for your area and want to go and find a community group. Or you can go to your family, who all these people who are related to you. And when I was thinking of kind of examples, I thought of my mum. And now my mum is a bit of a geek. When she was a little while ago, she was really into this sci-fi program called Stargate, and she absolutely loved it. And she was quite sad, and she used to go on the internet and like read up all these stories on the internet about the other people had written about the characters. And then she started to go on all these forums and started talking to all these different people from around the world. And she sort of there was a little community of people like that who all shared the same interests. And she met up with some of them, and they went to these conventions, and she met all the actors. And she loved it. It was really nice. But I'm not sure if she's still in contact with them. I think she's sort of gone off Stargate a bit now. And the thing we find in the world is whatever your passion or your interests are, you can find other people out there who share the same thing, and you can have that connection with them. But it's different to the church, because once your interest wanes or other people get fed up, you drift away. I like to play cricket, and I'm part of a cricket team at work, very low level of friendlies we play. And I went out a couple of weeks ago with them on a Friday night, had a curry and some drinks with them, and I loved it. I really enjoyed hanging out with these guys. But I know if it wasn't for cricket, I wouldn't really have that connection with them. And if I stopped going to cricket, I probably wouldn't hang out with many of them. But the church is so unique because it binds people together who don't necessarily have that much in common. And for youth groups, sometimes we play this little game where we get them to stand in the middle, and we have to say, right, what do you prefer, like McDonald's or Burger King? And they have to go into one end of the room and stuff. And if we did that this morning with you guys and we tried to find one thing that we all had in common, I think we'd struggle. I think many churches, you'd struggle. Because the only thing that we have in common is that we love Jesus this morning. Amen? Amen. And we're all sinners, and we all need Jesus. That's what connects us, and that's what binds us together in fellowship. And that's unique. You won't find it anywhere else in the world. Because Jesus said this in John chapter 15. I haven't got it on there. He talks about that he is the vine, and we are all the branches connected to it. And if you imagine what this a vine would be for those grapes, we watched Country Fire a couple of weeks ago, and they were... I might have read an article about the vines. But anyway, so a vine sort of comes up, and from it, everything sort of branches off it, all these different branches, and connects, and from there, they all these shoots off. And Jesus said, look, you guys are all connected through me, through this vine. And from that, you might... and so we've got to appreciate we are all connected. That's what binds us together, our love through Jesus. And it's fantastic because we can be connected to people the other side of the world, not just because we know them and have that shared interest, but through Jesus. And it's unique. I'll tell you a story. Does anybody here know a guy called Johnny Hitchens? Looks like, yeah. Johnny Hitchens? Well, he's a Christian brother who's one of the leaders at a church in Chester, so the other side of the country. And it's somebody I've kind of known off and on for many years. And he's not a sort of great friend or anything like that. But if I bumped into him, I'd quite happily have a nice chat with him. And anyway, he's sort of probably in mid to early 40s. Early to mid 40s. And him and his wife haven't been able to have any children. But some really good news. He posted on Facebook about a month ago that him and his wife are expecting their first child. It's exciting, isn't it? What's nice is that Pat told me about this, and he was really excited, and then I told my parents, and my mum was just sort of so happy for them. And I was chatting to Tim, and I told him, and his face was just like, wow. And we're not just happy because some random person that we know got pregnant. We're happy because somebody who we are connected with through this fellowship, even though they go to church the other side of the country, we probably only see them once every few years, is that we can share in their joy. And this is what God has created, this amazing thing that we can, I said, be in fellowship with people in India or in China or in Australia. And this is so unique. Amen. This is this fellowship life which God wants us to have. Amen. Okay. So I want to talk about what fellowship isn't, because sometimes we can get a little bit scared when we start talking about we have to be in fellowship with one another. You think, oh, I'm not sure I like that. So I just want to go through and kind of ease your fears about what fellowship is not. It is not gossiping about each other. It's not being nosy into each other's lives. It's not being busybodies, or as we like to call it, Garrying in people's lives. And we have this little phrase called Gary. And it stands for Gary, get involved. It's for people that love to just get involved with everything. Pat's a great example of that. He just likes to, we're doing something, he wants to get involved with it because he loves it. But fellowship is not gossiping about each other and sharing and saying, oh, Simon, I've got to tell this news about Esther because we're all in fellowship together. We don't want that. That's like anti-fellowship. It's completely what fellowship is about when we start gossiping. And it's not about getting involved in everybody's life and finding out what's going on here, what's going on there. I want to get involved with it. That, as I said, is completely what fellowship life is not. And Paul talks in some of his letters about these things and corrects churches who some of the people are doing that in theirs. So you don't have to worry about everybody being involved in everybody's life. That's not what fellowship is. It's also not revealing everything about your life to everybody. Because sometimes we think that's what fellowship you've got to share with people, therefore you have to tell every single body about every single thing that's going on in your life. Well, praise God, that's not what fellowship is. And we can sort of see this from two different sides. One is that sometimes we can be a bit nervous about sharing things with people. We think, oh, I don't want to be in fellowship because then I've got to tell people about what's going on. And I've got to tell everybody about it. That's not what God wants. God wants you to tell him everything that's going on in your life, and he loves it when you just talk to him and say, well, this happened at work, and this was going on in my family life, and this person upset me here, blah blah blah. And God loves it when you do that. But our church Church should not be a place where everybody comes here and just chats to everybody about everything that's going on in their life. But maybe if you are struggling with something, it's a good thing to maybe share with one or two people who can pray and stand with you as you go through things. As I said, on the other side, it's not your chance to come and burden everybody or tell everybody about what's happened in your life and say, well, Monday this happened, Tuesday this happened. Because if we were like that, we'd be here till 5 o'clock this afternoon as everybody has to talk with everybody. And that's not what fellowshipping is. It's also not freeloading. And what I mean by that, it's not just all about taking. Because at some point, the church, God has designed the church to support you and to help you. But if you're finding all you're ever doing at church is just receiving and never giving, then you're not living a real fellowship life the way that God wants, or the way that God has designed it. Because that's quite a selfish thing to do, just taking all the time. And it's not that you have to try and keep a ledger of what you give and what you take and try and balance it out. It's not, God's not interested in that at all. But if you're thinking, well, all I am, if you sort of assess yourself and think, actually, all I'm doing is taking and never giving, then you're missing out. You're not doing something. Because the whole body works together is when we all give and we all take. Because at points, we're going to need that support and love. I know about 5 years ago when I was really ill, and we were so blessed at how everyone in church stood up and supported us through that difficult time. And so it's really good to do that. But we mustn't just be about just always, what can I get from it? Because that's quite a worldly view. It's quite a selfish view to think, well, what can I just get out of this fellowship together? And the next thing I want to say, it's not about going to everything at church. And so we can sometimes think, well, I've got to be in fellowship, so I've got to do this, and I've got to do that, and I've got to show people that I'm really involved in this church, and I'm really a part of it. That's not what fellowship life is. So can I use you as an example, Grace? I love to see Grace. I know Grace can't get to everything, but I know I'm in fellowship with her, and I see her, and I just love to give her a hug, because I know our hearts are together, and we might not see each other. We see each other very much through the week, but it doesn't matter. We're in that connection and that fellowship relationship with each other. And so you don't feel like you have to do stuff to kind of show other people in the church. As it might be you only attend one or two things throughout the week, or through you might not be able to even come to church every week. But it's deeper than that. It's that fellowship, being at the right heart, being connected through Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, so that's some of the things that fellowship is not. I hope that's put your mind at ease. I want to talk about what fellowship is, and I'm going to go through some scriptures from the apostles' teaching. And my first one is quite long, so don't worry, I'm going to break it up for you. This is in Colossians chapter 3, verse 10 to 17, but we'll just read the first bit first. So from verse 10, put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free, middle class, working class, rich, poor, healthy, a bit unhealthy, good looking, not so good looking, what clothes you wear, what you do in the church, it doesn't matter. Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of us. Amen? Amen. That we are, see, the fellowship life is true equality, because it says that we're all the same. Doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter how educated you are, or what you've done, what you've achieved, how you've served the Lord, that we are all equal. Because what is the thing that connects us all? That we're all sinners. We all need Christ. Hallelujah. And that Christ is all that matters, and He lives in us. And we've got to realize that real fellowship is that we're all equal in it. And we might do different things in our church and how we work, but at the heart of it all, we are all equal. And that's how God wants us to be, all reliant on Him. So let's move on to verse 12. Since God chose you to be the holy people He loves, you must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts, For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. What did Jesus say to his disciples? He said, and I'm going to paraphrase it slightly, he says, I want you guys to be different. I want you guys to love each other so much that when people on the outside look in, they know that you're different. They know that you are my disciples because of how much you love each other. And if you look at, if you read through that passage and you think, well, who here is like that? I won't ask you to raise your hands, because the honest answer is none of us are like this. We're all not, but it's good news, we're all not perfect, but amen, we've got a perfect God in Jesus. But you can sum it all up by saying we've got to, the heart of fellowship is we've got to love each other. Amen. I want you to look to the person to your left or behind you. I want to look to the person to your right or in front of you. And know this, that person at some point is going to upset you, they're going to annoy you, and they're going to frustrate you. Amen. That's true, isn't it? In fact, you can look at your partner and know that they frustrate you and upset you. Amen. Because that's life, isn't it? We do rub each other up the wrong way. But when we're living in fellowship, real fellowship, the way God has designed it, and we have his love running through us, we are able to get beyond that. And it encourages us here in this passage to forgive each other. And forgiveness is such an important thing. And I won't go into it because we're going to talk about it in a few weeks' time, about how important it is. We've got to let go of those things when people upset us. And we've got, I mean, you can, I'm not going to go through each one of these things, mercy, kindness, etc. Because you can sum up by saying you've got to love one another. Even when it's difficult, even when it's hard, even when that person really upsets you and annoys you. And you might need a bit of time to go away and come before the Lord. But you've got to clothe yourself in love. And as it says, when we do that, that's when we find that harmony. That's when we find, or we can live with one another. And we can live at peace and in harmony and unity. And that joy that this fellowship life which God has for us can come through is when we live in love. So let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. I want to pick up two things from these verses. Firstly, we need to teach and counsel each other with the wisdom that comes from Christ. Let's be honest here, we get things wrong sometimes, don't we? We sometimes drift away from the Lord. It's the truth, we all go through that, no one's perfect. And part of being in the fellowship together is that you do have to sometimes teach and counsel each other and say, hang on a sec, brother, hang on a sec, sister, maybe you've got that a little bit wrong. One of the things I like about our leadership team is that we're working together, is that it's kind of one of the ways we work together, is that we sometimes, when one of us comes up with an idea and the others think, well, maybe that's not quite right, we kind of help each other out, we kind of counsel each other, and eventually, you know, when the Lord comes through. For example, if I was to say, I think we should do naked worship at church on a Sunday morning, I'm sure Simon, Pat and John would go, hang on a sec, brother, I think maybe you need to go back before the Lord and double check with him whether that's right. I'm sure they wouldn't quite say it as politely as that. But that's the kind of the way we do it, because we know that naked worship is never right. Amen. So, and so we have to appreciate that we, together, sometimes are going to have to say to other people, hang on a sec, maybe you're going a little bit wrong there. And sometimes people are going to say that to us, so we have to accept it. I'm not giving us freedom to go around and start smashing people up. That's completely the wrong way that it works. David in Psalm 23 gives this great picture of Jesus being a shepherd. What's one of the lines of that psalm? Your rod and your staff comfort me. And when you see this picture of shepherds, you see they've got these big sticks with these hooks on the end. It's called a crook. And do you know what it's designed for? It's that when you've got the sheep, and sheep are quite stupid, and they start drifting away from the flock, the shepherd can lean over, stick out his stick, use the hook and hook it round the sheep's neck, and gently encourage it back into the flock. And so sometimes we have to, through Jesus' guidance and wisdom, we have to sometimes support each other when we're drifting away from God. And the next thing I want to say is that about singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. Now, the reason why we sing on a Sunday morning at church is not because we love singing. I know some of us do, and if you do love singing, there are plenty of groups out there, aren't there, Hannah and Miriam? But if you want to sing, you can go and find somewhere and find other people who also love to sing. But we do, we sing on a Sunday morning to God. And we do it together as a group because we're encouraged to do it, because it blesses God and it blesses and encourages us as his people and helps us have that fellowship life together. We're able to come and sing and read scriptures together and just do with that thankful hearts. And so it's good to worship together. Okay, so I've got a few more scriptures. Don't worry, we're not going to go through every single one in the Bible about fellowship. But this next few says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, to encourage each other and build each other up just as you are already doing. I mean, this church, well, I think we're quite good at this in our church, is that we should be, when we're in fellowship together, we should be encouraging each other to go on with God. We should be building each other up and encouraging people to go on with God. And the church is a great place to do it, as we can do it in love, we can do it in friendship, in that connection together that we have. The next one is Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Share each other's burdens and in this way obey the law of Christ. We should be people who aren't afraid of sharing the things that we are struggling with other people in the church. And as I said, it's not sharing with everybody, but it's good to share what we our burdens. I mean, my some of the times I've most been blessed these last few weeks is where in our Sunday mornings we've been able to pray for people. Pray when people have been sick, when they've struggled with sleep. And it's amazing that once we start doing that, we find out how many other people in the church are also struggling. And I just say, I loved it when you guys prayed for me last week. And I want to testify that since you guys prayed last Sunday, I've been able to get to sleep absolutely fine. And so, it's amen. Amen. So it's good to share the things that we are going through with other people, because it enables us to stand with you, to pray with you, to love you as you go through difficult times. And we will go through difficult times. The Bible promises that. And part of being in fellowship together is that we can support and encourage people as we go through these things. And the last one I want to talk about is 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. What is saying here is be hospitable to each other. And again, I think we're quite good at this. We do, I know people invite each other around to their houses. And it's something that is so key. Because we can sometimes think fellowship is all about being spiritual with one another. It's not. I read in my research, I found this quote. It says, true fellowship combines social and spiritual interaction and is only made possible through a living relationship with Jesus Christ. There's a being in fellowship together, there is a social element to it. It's not just about coming to church on a Sunday and coming to the prayer meeting or going to this home group or doing that. It's also about socially interacting with each other. And it's something where, I know for me personally, I struggle with this a little bit, because naturally I'm quite shy. And I kind of quite like my own company. And I'm mixed with a little bit of laziness. And so naturally I think, oh, yeah, we won't organise anything this week. We'll do it next week. And I have to pull myself up on this sometimes and say, no, we really need to invite these people around to our house, or we need to go out with them. Because I can say this, that I was trying to remember this. Have I ever had a bad time hanging out with you guys socially? I can't think of a time of where we've gone around someone's house or had people over and at the end of it gone, oh, well, that was terrible. In fact, it's the complete opposite, that I come away from it thinking, wow, that was great. I really loved hanging out with so-and-so. We should do that again sometimes. And so I want to encourage us as a church to continue to be hospitable with each other, continue to meet up socially. And because sometimes when we find it's all just trying to do all the spiritual stuff, that it can burn us out a little bit. And sometimes we need that social and friendship connection. Because fellowship is not just all about spiritual stuff. It is about being friends with people. and loving them socially as well. Amen. So I just want to finish by sort of summarizing what I said. And that if you want to experience the Christian fellowship life the way God has designed it, first of all, you need to be in fellowship with God. Because if you're not in fellowship with God, you can't have fellowship with other Christians in the way that God wants. And you can be a part of a church and you can be blessed and you can be encouraged to be a part of it, but you'll miss out on the fullness that God has for us and for you. And again, if you're finding fellowship at church quite difficult, it might be that you're actually struggling a little bit with your fellowship with God. And so it's one of those things that we can use to check ourselves. You think, Joe, I'm finding everybody at church really annoying. I think maybe you need to go back to God and say, maybe I've kind of got a little bit out of kilter with you, God, and maybe I need to get back into full fellowship and relationship with you, and then I'll find things at church a lot easier. And also, I want to encourage you guys to jump in this fellowship life. I like to read the Message at the moment, mainly, in my Bible readings. And when it uses the word fellowship, it says this. It doesn't use the word fellowship. It says the life together. And I want to encourage us as a church to have a life together. Not living on top of each other or anything like that, but have this life together. Because when we don't and when we hold back, we miss out. And the truth is, it's not just us that misses out, it's the church that misses out. I mean, Simon was saying this morning about if you've got something, share it, because it might do something. And when we hold back in our fellowship, it's not just us that gets hurt through it, it's the church. The church misses out on what God has given you to give to everybody else. Let's be people that don't miss out. Let's jump in its fullness. In the fullness that God has designed this fellowship life. And finally, now you might wonder why I've used this picture on the background for my PowerPoint. Because when I was thinking about fellowship, and it's all about, I think about the River Church, and obviously we've got our Vision Sunday coming up next week, and our vision is focused about the river of life. And I thought, well, what makes up a river? It's lots of streams coming together. A river is not lots of streams running in parallel with each other. It's lots of streams that come and connect and mix together to make the river. And this is just a picture I just wanted to share with you guys. So this is how our church should be. That people coming together and mixing up and having, and it's going to be messy at times. It's going to be annoying. It's going to be hurt. We're going to get upset at times. But the benefits massively outweigh the positives. Because we're living the way God has designed us as humans to live, to be in fellowship, not just with him, but with each other. And being mixed up and flowing and moving in God together. Amen. Amen. Let's pray.